So last week, we talked about what?
Sex.
Sex. And shame. Sex and shame. And what was, you guys are very chatty about that. What was the big idea around the sex and shame talk? Sex is an act of worship, right? And I've heard some of you already, especially on the Pitch and Praise weekend, talking about just another word for sex now is worship. And I hope you got the point. It is worship, and what we talked about, it's worship if it's between a man and a wife. If it's happening with anybody else, it's not worship. And so last week we talked about sex being an act of worship. Well, the week before that, we talked about dating and finding not the right person, but becoming the right person. Now, in this whole kind of series, I've titled it Risky Business, just for joking wise, but Risky Business, I wanted to focus, I think there was a few things that we missed out on. And so tonight, what I want to focus on is one, dating in general, how to date, how to find somebody in dating, what that looks like. And then I want to talk about something that we don't often talk about when it comes to relationships, and that's breaking up. Because I know when I was in youth, we didn't often talk at all about youth, about how do I break up with somebody? How do I honor somebody when I break up with them? How do I respect them when I break up with somebody? And I believe the truth is that God's truth has just as much to say about our dating life as it does post-dating life, specifically if we're ending relationships. So if you're in a relationship today with somebody that's beside you, or if you're in a relationship today and somebody's with you that you want to break up with, you've come to the right talk. Or if you are going to date somebody, which I believe all of you are, probably, tonight's talk will be really good because you'll go into your relationship, hopefully having some guidelines, and hopefully you'll exit your relationship having done things a little bit wiser. Now, here's the precursor, all right? And this goes for everything that we talk about at youth, okay? This stuff that we are talking about at youth is stuff that we believe as the church and as Christians is the way things ought to be, okay? And one thing we talked about last week when we talked about sex and we looked at the statistics is that 80% of evangelical Christian teenagers and youth are having sex prior to marriage, okay? And so what we talked about was, why is that happening? And we looked at, although the great thing, the God prepared thing was to wait for sex until marriage. Sometimes we don't do that and we do the good thing, which sex outside of marriage definitely is going to be enjoyable, but it's not going to be the best party ever as sex that is in marriage can be if it's as an act of worship to God. And so when we talk about this stuff tonight, you are welcome to say, Matt, that sounds great, but I'm going to do it differently. But I give this information out of my own experience from talking to other people about their dating experience and then also watching what's going on around me in some of your dating lives and what I've seen some of my friends go through. And I hope that this doesn't, I don't want this to become a thing where it's like years down the road where I say to you, I told you so, and that's not what any of this is about. This is just, hey guys, from somebody that's a little bit further along, here's some stuff that I think could be really, really handy for you moving forward into, let's be honest, an incredibly complicated world. I mean, dating these days is so incredibly complicated. I remember when I was your age, dating was a little bit simpler. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have Facebook. And it was just very different. And so what I did have was MSN. And MSN was what I had, MSN Messenger. I thought it was amazing when it first came out. Like, this is God's gift to human beings, MSN Messenger. Now you guys have like a messenger system within Facebook and Facebook. And the reason that I say that is because MSN Messenger was the best way to flirt. Especially when the MSN Messenger had this thing where you could click on it and the little screen wiggled, and it was called the nudge. And it was kind of like what Facebook has is now the poke. So you can poke somebody. And they had this nudge. And then when emoticons or emotions came out, that was a really, really cool new thing. Because it's like, now I can really show somebody how I feel. Like, that was why we do that. Do any of us really stick our tongue out to the left or to the right when we're talking? We use it all the time. All right, so MSN Messenger, I believe, was the gift to the world. But now, since that time you have Facebook and you have becoming official on Facebook. You have, when do I message this person? When do I start liking this person's photos? If I like that photo, will they think I'm weird because that photo was something that they loaded 3 years ago? And then it's clearly going to look like I'm stalking this person and looking at every single one of their photos. And then what do I do, like, when it's 11:30 at night and I'm Facebook messaging them and they're Facebook messaging me back? Like, how do I say goodbye? Because we've never said goodbye on Facebook together before. Do I just do a TTYL? Do I say I like you? Do I say I love you? Like, how do I end this? Do I put X's and O's, hugs and kisses? What do I do? And if I exit out of my screen before they've said something back to me, will they be mad at me because I didn't get back to them when they wanted me to get back to them? And will they think that I just suddenly exited the conversation? And if you're anything like me, I remember talking to somebody on MSN, exiting the conversation, signing out of MSN, and then feeling bad that I might have left the conversation unended. So I'd sign back into MSN Messenger to make sure that they knew that I wasn't exiting the conversation away from them, that I actually cared for them. But that is all, like, things are changing. And the amount of people that are now going to online dating. I know a guy, and of the 5 weddings that he has done, 3 of the ones that he has done have been online dating relationships. I remember when I first met a couple, they were an older couple, both of them from previous marriages, got married, and she lived in California, and he lived in Tillsonburg, Ontario, and they, like, did this weird dating thing where they, you know, did the whole talking online, let's find somebody that works for me, and then they went and visited one another. Like, they came all the way to Tillsonburg from California. It's like, stay in California, but they came all the way to Tillsonburg, and then he went to California, and then the next thing you knew is they were getting married, and I was like, wow, like, that is really neat. And I'm just so thankful that I'm married, I'm taken, I don't have to do that. But you guys are all on the other end of that. You're all on the other side of dating is either happening now or it's going to pick up. There is somebody out there. Sometimes I think we can fall into a belief that, there's nobody out there for me, or who will love me. Believe me, I've seen some weird couples out there, and if there's one thing that I've learned is there is somebody for everyone. If you think you're a weirdo, there's another weirdo out there. I thought I was a weirdo, and I found another weirdo. Andre would be okay with me saying that. We both think we're weird. But there is somebody else out there for you. Now, when it comes to relationships, I was reading this one quote, and it comes from a leadership book, but I think it really does apply to our relationships as well. And this is the quote. It says, "Realize that if you are not a goal setter, you might become a problem solver." If you're not a goal setter, you might become a problem solver. So to illustrate this, I want to read you a little story, and then I want to get your feedback on what this person is doing wrong in their relationship, and also if this example that I read is uncommon. So I made this up today, and so here you go. Susie, because we know there's not many Susies around, so that's why he's a Susie. Susie starts dating Ronnie because he's good looking. She has no idea his personality or habits and what they are, and she never really thought about what should she look for in a guy. After the first date, Ronnie, an experienced dater, starts making physical moves on Susie, who goes along with it because she is unexperienced and has never really thought about how far is too far. After their date, Susie feels a bit violated, but is scared to end the relationship with Ronnie because of her reputation and how short the relationship has been. And so she continues in the relationship, unwilling to set boundaries and willing to break up with Ronnie. Now, upon first hearing, what is wrong in this relationship? What's that, sorry? She has no idea what she wants other than a good-looking guy, right? But other than that, she really has no idea what she wants. What's something else? What's going wrong in this relationship? What's that? Yeah, she really knows nothing about him, right? It's just the good looks. What else? What else is going wrong in this relationship? Yes, she is letting him create her morals, and she's kind of just going along with it, right? What else? Ronnie. Yeah, Ronnie's an issue. We probably shouldn't go for Ronnie's. Very good. What else? Anything else? Yes. She didn't set any boundaries, and I would probably believe that Ronnie doesn't even want to set boundaries, right? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Is this relationship, is what I wrote here, is this uncommon? No. No. This goes on over and over and over and over again. And you know why? Because if you are not a goal setter, you become a problem solver. If you do not figure out, what do I want in a guy? What do I want in a girl? If I do not create boundaries, then what'll happen is anything. Anything will start happening. And rather than preparing for things, you just end up responding to what happens. You end up responding to the problems that are going on in your relationship. And that is what happened to Susie. She didn't set any goals. She wasn't in a relationship where there was mutual respect for one another's boundaries or for one another's experiences. And as a result, she's now left to be the problem solver in their relationships. Now, as I said, dating is getting incredibly complicated. Things are definitely a lot different. And I bet you, I can't even imagine how people are going to start dating 20 years from now. They actually say, and I might have told this to you before, but they actually say that marriage is no longer going to be a commitment that you make forever, that you'll make marriage installments. So you'll get married and you'll say, we're going to be married for 5 years, and then after 5 years, we'll be done. Or you could set up another contract. Let's get married for 10 years, and then after 10 years, we'll split up. Because people are saying, we're going to do that because then it'll be a lot cheaper when we divorce, because the average divorce nowadays costs $35,000. And so this way, we just have a mutual understanding. And if we want to re-sign the contract to continue in our marriage, we'll do that then. And so relationships are going to get complicated. I don't believe that's God's model at all, but we'll get there when we get there. But things are incredibly complicated. But here's the thing. I think there are a couple of constants that need to happen in relationships. And this is the part where you guys can say, amen! Hallelujah, based on some of these things. Okay, the first one, and if you guys want, I can give you these lists afterwards. Number one is make a list of desired personality traits in another person. Now, last week in junior high, I did the talk about the right person. And on this whiteboard, I said, guys, what is the right person to you? What would be the right person? And we put all this stuff down on the board. Incredible list, by the way. And one of the ones was good feet. Okay? And I was like, great! Yes! Good feet! You're maybe into that. Great! Now, what often happens to people is that they have this list, and then they go through a relationship, and they're like, that wasn't accurate. There's no way I could ever have that perfect person. And none of us are perfect, and none of us could be the right, but we're working on ourselves, right? And so what they do is they lower their standards. Hear me on this. Do not lower your standards because there's nobody around in your relational circle right now that meets those standards. Okay, one thing. You guys are in high school right now, okay? You have the rest of your lives to live, and most people nowadays are getting married between 25 and 30 years old. Okay, so for some of you who are 16, that's like 9 years away. So you don't want to date somebody for 9 years. Enjoy your life. Enjoy being in high school. But come up with a list. Make a list of desired personality traits in another person, and do not go lower than those traits. Don't skip out on things in your relationship. Number two, guys, listen up. Men are to be the instigators. Men are to be the instigators. It's your role. I believe chivalry is not dead. Guys, step up and be, amen. Guys, step up. I believe a guy should be the one asking you to go on the date. I believe that the guy should be one planning the date, and I believe the guy should be one paying for the first date. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes. Hear me on this. If the guy is unwilling to do these things early on in your relationship, there is no way ever that he will do it later on in your relationship. If he is not willing to work for you, he will never want to work for you. Yes, you can know. You can know how good a guy is going to be. You can know how good of a guy is, how much of a man he is in the first date of your relationship. In the first date. And if you feel in any way in your first date like your standards were not met and that he did not treat you like the woman that you are, the princess that you are, kick him to the curb. He's not worth your time. He's a pig. Okay? He's a pig. And we live in a society of a group of guys that think the girls should come after me. I'm a hottie. They should come get me. Shut up, men. You gotta chase them. You got to chase them. Men are to be the instigators. We read a story in the Old Testament about a guy named Jacob, and Jacob works for 14 years for a woman. 14 years, he works for his father-in-law for a woman. Guys, you should be willing to work 14 years for the woman of your dreams, because only then will you get the feeling of that you do not deserve her. And as I've told you guys before, you will know it's love. You will know it's love when you feel like you do not deserve that person, and they feel the exact same way about you. Men are to be the instigators. Number three, women. Women, do not back down. Do not back down. Hear me in this. Hear me in this. Men are supposed to be men, and men are supposed to be the ones that are to be setting the boundaries. But guess what? Men are becoming less like men, and women are suddenly the ones that hold the keys to what's going to be allowed and what isn't going to be allowed. You see, a guy thinks with something other than his head. And women, you need to be willing and able to say no. So if you are not in a place personally where you're able to say no to a guy, well, I'm sorry, but you're not ready to be in a relationship. Hear me on that. If you are not able to say no to a guy, you are not ready to be in a relationship. Okay? Women, do not back down. Do not lower your standards. Remember, love is patient and kind. Love is patient. You don't go for the first guy that looks good, the first guy that looks like Justin Bieber or Channing Tatum or Ryan Gosling. Sure, there could be great-looking fellows. But if he doesn't respect you, if he doesn't honor you, then he's a waste of good looks, in my mind. Number four, if you can't say it in person, don't say it at all. You guys live in this digital world of... Hallelujah. You guys live in this world of... I would never say I love you in person, but I can totally say it on Facebook or in a text message. You totally live in a world where I can flirt and say inappropriate things online, but I can't say it to them in person. Hear me. You are the same person online that you are in person, and that reputation will follow you. You can't separate it. And the way you have acted around somebody online is the way that they see you. They don't say, oh, that's cyberspace Matt, and that's Matt over there. No. If you were able to say those things, type those things, text those things, that's the stuff that's going on. You can almost go to the point nowadays to say that you are the person you really are online. You want to know who you are? What sort of person are you online? What sort of things do you say? Five, set boundaries, okay? And I'm not just talking about physical boundaries, I'm talking about time boundaries. If you're in high school and you're in a dating relationship, I don't think you should be spending more than two nights a week with the person that you're dating. I don't. If you are sacrificing time with your friends for your high school relationship, there's a little bit of a problem. There's not a good success rate for high school relationships. And if that relationship ends, you're going to stop, look around, and be like, where are all my friends? And your friends are going to say, you ditched us. You ditched us for that relationship. And so do not sacrifice your friendship. Set boundaries around how much time you spend together, and help ask your parents to help you remain and keep those boundaries. The other thing, physically. We've had these conversations over and over and over again. How far will you go? Personally, as I've talked to people, as I've counseled people in relationships, as I've learned from my own relationship, and as I've heard from other people, kissing is probably as far as you should go. Guys, we talked a couple weeks about what the best indicator for you to stop is. Girls, he'll know. And if he is pushing you... Yep. And if he is pushing you further, you slap him in the face. You slap him in the face. All right? Guys, how many of you guys have ever gone down a water slide? Probably all of us. When do you have the most control on a water slide? At the top. Right? The bottom you're washing away. At the top, you have control. Guys, listen, The further you go physically in a relationship, the harder it is going to be for you to stop. And you'll resort to that level, and you'll resort to that physicality time and time again. And it's even harder on a water slide to go back up the other direction. And the same thing is in your physical life. If you've already crossed boundaries, it's harder for you now to not cross boundaries. And so when you get into a relationship, maintain the boundaries right away. Talk about it right away. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself sliding. And unfortunately, in most relationships, things keep sliding further and further and further. Number six, don't take it too seriously. Have fun. Don't take it too seriously. Have fun. Have fun. If you're losing sleep every night about this relationship, oh man, you're throwing away your high school life. Honestly, have fun. Laugh with people. Have really, really good friendships. But don't take it too seriously. Have fun. Next thing, don't let anyone hold you back from becoming the person you want to be. There are so many people out there that don't do big things or don't go traveling or don't go to school far away for a relationship. Guys, you're only selling yourself short of what can really be amazing for you as a person. And so don't let that happen. I know that there's heartache. I know that how will we do the long distance? If it's meant to be, you'll do the long distance. If you're to be together forever, you'll do the long distance. But don't ever let somebody keep you back from being the person you want to be. You will have yourself for the rest of your life. You might not have your relationship for the rest of your life. Don't let somebody hold you back from that. And number eight, put God first in your relationship. And I really, really mean that. In Luke 10, 27, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's not just a joke verse. That's a true verse. You got to love him with everything. You got to put him first, because if you don't, you'll be first, and then you're worshiping yourself and you're not worshiping God. All right? So those are the top eight things that I think are really, really important for relationships. Now, here are, how many do I have? I have eight things as well on how to end relationships. All right? On how to end relationships. So if you're trying to figure out right now, how do I break up with somebody? Here's eight things how to break up with somebody. Okay? Number one. If you can't say it in person, don't say it at all. If you can't break up with somebody in person, don't break up with them.
Amen.
Amen. If you can't say it in person, don't say it at all. You show so much disrespect and crap to somebody if you can't be honest with them to their face. I'm serious. You don't text somebody, we're over. You don't call somebody and say, we're over. You don't Facebook message them and say, we're over. You talk to them in person like that person deserves. All right? And in your digital world of, it's way easier if I just send them a Facebook message and then just avoid them at school. Or in an easy world of, I'll just text message them and then they'll never see me again. That's not the way it works. If you can't say it in person, don't say it at all. I did a huge disservice to a couple girls in high school by breaking up with them over the phone or in an MSN Messenger conversation. There was no nudges going on in those conversations on MSN Messenger. Guys, this is somebody that you have invested your time in, that has gotten to know you and you've got to know them. And they deserve for you to talk to them in person. The second thing, doesn't stray too far from it, is be honest. I'm going to tell you a little story. My grandma is about 70 years old, okay? And she's on the hunt. She is looking for a guy. And, amen, it doesn't stop. So she's 70 years old, and she wants to date, okay? And she got into this relationship with this guy a little while ago, and he broke up with her, and he told her, his wife had died about a year before, I'm not ready for a relationship. Well, guess what? He was in another relationship and married less than a year from the time that he broke up with my grandma. And my grandma came and said to my dad and I, Matt and Gord, why are men so cowardly? I'm like, Grandma, I don't know. But I guess guys don't change from when they're 70 to when they're 16, because guys continue to be cowards and people continue to lie in relationships. It's not you, it's me. Really. The fact that you could not stand his personality was you and not him? Now, That doesn't give you the right to be really, really mean. But it does give you the right to be honest and say, that guy should have just said to my grandma, I don't like you. I don't like you. There's no chemistry here. And it's not that it's too early, because I'm going to go find somebody else, hopefully. Which he did, and they were married very shortly, right? Be honest. Here's a quote from me. If you are mature enough... Yes. Thank you. Just a quick announcement. Justin and I became reverends last night. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So now if any of you want to get married early, we can now officially do it. I'm a huge proponent for marriage. But here's my quote that Reverend Matt Naismith came up with. If you are mature enough to get in a relationship, you should be mature enough to get out of one. All right? Thank you. If you're mature enough to get in it, you should be mature enough to get out of it. If you're mature enough to say, hey, will you go out with me? You should be mature enough to say, hey, let's not go out anymore. And here's a few reasons why. It'll hurt. It'll hurt the other person. But you'll do them so much benefit for the future when they're in this other relationship and they're freaking out because, I may not be right for them and they can just leave at any moment. It's them and not me. And so many girls out there, you know how you can learn this, okay? You know how you can learn this? Watch some of these stupid dating shows that are on television. And these people like The Bachelor, okay? These fully grown people at like 30 years old leave and they're like, I'm never going to find anyone. It's always my problem. It's like, you are going up against 25 other good-looking people. And of course you're going to get let go. Like, don't be a fool. He didn't have any chemistry with you. You were annoying. Leave the show. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You'll find somebody. There's millions and millions and billions of people in our world. There's going to be somebody out there for you. All right? Be honest. Number three. This is very important. Respect and honor the secrets. Respect and honor the secrets. When you are in relationship with somebody, you open yourself up to them and you are vulnerable with that person and you start sharing fears with that person. You start sharing emotions with that person. And if you've been physical with that person, they have seen you potentially naked and you know a lot about their physical bodies. Honor and respect the secrets. Do not go and tell people, this person's biggest fear is this, and their family is really messed up. And, that's what they're like. And, no. Honor and respect the secrets. Honor and respect the secrets, because they took a chance on you. You took a chance on them. They shared things with you. You shared things with them. And I bet you don't want your garbage being passed around the world. You know what the most beautiful thing about a relationship is? You get to know somebody so well that you know what that person's greatest fear is, and you also know the one thing that could hurt that person the most. I know what would hurt Andrea the most if I were to say it, and she knows what would hurt me if she were to say it. But that's something we've shared together. That's not stuff for everybody else to know. Honor and respect the secrets. 4. Gossip during the relationship is just as bad as gossip outside the relationship. Don't do it. You don't bad talk your boyfriend or girlfriend. Don't do it afterwards. You do nobody any good. And you taint that person's image forever. And guess what? People change. And the person that you dated a year ago, 2 years ago, is changing. And maybe they were immature then, but guess what? People grow up and they become mature. But if you lay all this gossip with other people about that person's personality, you do no good for them, for their now, and for their future. 5, separate yourself from them so you may heal. There's a lot of things out there going around that if you were dating somebody, if you were in this physical relationship with somebody, if you were in this relationship that was really, really deep, that it's okay to just continue hanging out with them as much as you were, and maybe even continue to be beneficial friends with benefits. Guys, you won't get over that person. They won't get over you. And you need to give yourself some time to get past them, to become the person that you want to be, the right person for yourself. And you can't do that with your baggage still in the picture. All right? Separate yourself as best you can from the person so you can heal. And after that, if you can continue a friendship, for sure, do it. but give yourself some time to heal, to separate. You know what was one of the hardest things when I was breaking up with people was thinking outside of me and that person, right? When you've dated somebody for at least 3 months, that's as long as my relationship lasted until I met Andrea. But if you've been in a relationship even for 3 months, your mind comes to a thinking of Susie and Ronnie together. And when you break up, something has to happen in your mind where it's like, oh, we aren't together anymore. Give yourself the time to become, I'm this person and they're that person. Number five, and this goes back to the gossip, but do not taint the reputation. It would be so unfair and wrong of you to hurt someone that you once cared so much for. And you know what, guys? This is one of the best ways that you can show and live out your Christian faith is in the way that you break up with people. If we're Christians and we're supposed to be people of love, the best way that you can show the world around you how loving Christians are is how you break up with somebody. All right? And so just that's a simple example of how can I live out my faith? Break up with somebody in a loving way. Number seven, love them as God loves them. Love them as God loves them. Love them as God loves them. They're God's children. I said it to guys before, and I forgot to make this inclusion. You should be treating your girlfriends as if your father-in-law, potential father-in-law, or their father is in the room with you. And when you get married, you should be treating your wife and your husband as if the father-in-law, above all father-in-laws is in the room with you. We are God's children, therefore God is our father, and he is around us all the time. And so if you're not treating somebody with respect as they are God's daughter or they are God's son, then that's wrong. Love them as God loved them. And number eight, this is super important, forgive. Forgive. Do not let what they said to you or how they treated you define who you are and who you will date in the future. If you do this, you are continuing to give them control in your life, a control they do not deserve. And forgiving them will let that go. I was watching Oprah yesterday. I'm not ashamed to say I was watching Oprah. Amen. Amen. And Oprah had T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes on, and he's a charismatic pastor, a big black guy. And he was on there, and he was talking about forgiveness. And he did a great job talking about forgiveness versus unforgiveness. And what I loved the most about it was there was this woman that stood up and said, this guy, when I was in a relationship with him, was really, really abusive, and he said some really, really hurtful things to me. And I don't know how I'm supposed to forgive him, and I don't know how to move forward. And the way T.D. Jakes responded is said, listen, you need to forgive him, because if you don't forgive him, the lies that he told you or the things that he said about you will continue to define the relationships that you get in the future. And so if you don't completely forgive that person, you don't let it go. Some people say forgive and forget. T.D. Jakes says forgive, but don't forget, because if you forget, you might make the same mistakes again and get the same wrong relationship again. C.S. Lewis says this about forgiveness. He says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. You forgive somebody. Yeah, they hurt you. Get over it. And I know that there are some of us in this room that we have gone through incredible hurt and it's hard to forgive. And it is. But if you don't forgive somebody, you're letting them still have control over your present and potentially your future. But if you forgive them, they are forgiven, lines are cut, and they're over there. And it just has helped you learn, grow, and your character will be transformed because of it. C.S. Lewis says this about love. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to be sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. He then goes on to say, but in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. And what C.S. Lewis is basically saying is, love, as tough as it is, as much as you might get broken because of it, is a necessity in our world to a life lived with God and for God. And you guys are about to embark. Some of you might already be embarking in the area of relationships. And the reason that I put so much emphasis on talking about this is because I want you guys to have healthy relationships. And I want you to have healthy marriages. Okay, the end goal is not a boyfriend or girlfriend. The end goal is a happy marriage. And the purpose of dating is, I believe, for the longevity of marriage. And what is so important is to remember, as Andy Stanley said in the first week, your present will become your past, which will appear in your future. And the decisions you make now will affect your marriage. And the dating relationships you have will affect your marriage and how you view relationships. And we want you guys to have the very best marriages possible, because I'd love to see the divorce rate going the other direction and more people staying married for a long time. And I know some of you guys who are from families where there has been divorce would love that too, because you know the pain and the heartache and the complexity that is there. And so you need to set yourself up well now. Keep God at the center as you move into your future. All right, let's pray, and then you guys can head off into small groups. Father God, I thank you for relationships. I thank you for this evening and this time, God, to just be open and honest, to put everything on the table. God, for those of us that really didn't listen tonight, that missed things, God, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would protect us, God, from the things that were said tonight that we weren't paying attention to. God, I pray that even if, God, there are things, God, that we're not recognizing about even our present relationships, God, that you would change us, God, that you would transform us, God, and that we can passionately serve you. God, I pray for those of us that are dating in relationships right now, God, maybe are crossing lines, maybe aren't crossing lines, God, but haven't had the talk about setting boundaries, setting goals, God, and slowly we're starting to deal with the problems as a result of not setting the goals. I pray for us, and Lord, protect those relationships. And God, lastly, I pray for those of us in this room today, Lord, that are being pressured by the evil one and by the world around us to get into relationships, God, and we know we aren't ready, and we know that the bad boy that we're trying to date isn't really a good boy, but he's a good-looking boy, God, and even for us, the guys in this room that are looking for the hot girl but is not really a good girl, God, and Lord, I just pray that you would guide us in the way of truth, God. May we not make the mistakes, God, that have been made by people after people after people group in the future. I pray, Lord, that the 80% that are sleeping with their partners and with people before marriage, God, that would be also be a reverse statistic, God, and that we can be a people that serves you, not only in our relationships, emotionally, intellectually, God, but also physically. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys, for listening. I realize this was a long talk, but I hope it's been helpful. All right, thanks, guys.